Welcome to Stick a Fork in It, Dr. Kopeck. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Shannon. How are you?
We are not doing well, Doctor. We're not. And it's why we reached out to our amazing partners, BayCare. I don't know if you know this, but in our new facility, and even before that, you guys have a health clinic which is scheduled for information and for meeting with folks right here at the Causeway Center. But the cool thing that I'm never going to forget was we were the first food bank in the United States to actually have a partner like BayCare work with us inside our facility. And a lot of lives have actually been saved already because of the partnership. From our seniors and some of our folks that come in, that they have the Higgy machine, and we have those special times during the month that we actually have nursing staff on site. So we're very grateful. And I'll tell you guys were the first person. I called Lisa Razzler on your team. The flu is killing all of us. We need some help. We need some information. And that's why we're connected. So tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So I am originally from New Jersey, and I did my medical school in the Caribbean and then went to internal medicine residency and then infectious disease fellowship in Brooklyn, New York. And that's where I met my wife. And we moved to Florida in 2005 and have been living in the countryside area ever since. And we just love it here in Florida and would not want to be anywhere else.
That's a wonderful neighborhood. That countryside area from it's an established, beautiful neighborhood. They have great schools. You live in a great spot in Pinellas County, but you're actually physically in Pasco right now, right? And what is your title there?
Correct. I'm the director and chief medical officer of the Great Morton Plant North Bay Hospital, where it's always a great day at the Bay. And I will be actually transitioning over to being the chief medical officer and VP down at downtown Clearwater for Morton Plant Hospital.
That's amazing. That's wonderful. And those are incredible hospitals. And although they're called Morton Plant, they are definitely in the BayCare family, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. BayCare has actually 16 hospitals, and we're all driven by the same mission to provide high quality, compassionate care to all we serve.
Right, and they're an incredible partner with us because they help us provide that intervention with that fresh, healthy food to keep folks healthy and also teach our youth how to eat proper nutri have proper nutrition and take really good care of themselves. So we are just so impressed with BayCare. I can't say that enough, and grateful for everybody we work with there. But we reached out to you because of this flu A thing, friends.
Yes, indeed.
This is crazy. It's on the news every day here at Feeding Tampa Bay. 2 weeks ago, I am going to say I was struck with it because I don't think I was sicker than when I did have COVID once. And now poor Ev, who has joined us, is on the tail end of it himself at home. So we have really a ton of questions because you have that background. First of all, what should you do when you feel that flu coming on? Like when you start feeling that weird, for me, it's a funny cough and it catches weird. And I'm like, oh no. But I think we all have our tics. What is the first thing that you should do?
First thing really you should do is to try to get tested and to see, is this really the flu or is this something else? Because it could be COVID, could be one of the other many respiratory viruses that are circulating. But as you had mentioned, influenza is actually continues on the rise. So I have some data from the past month in January 2025. So our urgent care centers, we have a lot of different outreach facilities where you can get tested, not just at the emergency departments. So at our BayCare urgent cares, we did over 7,500 tests in January, and there were 22% of them were positive. But then when you go out to the hospital, because if you do feel ill and you just don't feel right, you have difficulty breathing, or you have a super high fever that doesn't come down with medications, then that's where people seek medical attention at the emergency department. So most of this data is from the emergency rooms, and we did over 20,000 tests in January in all our 16 hospitals, right? As well as one of our freestanding emergency departments in Bardmore, and those were over 25% positive. And that actually led to 1,600 hospitalizations. So that's one out of every three patients that were positive then went on to need hospitalization.
Hospital care.
So that's pretty bad.
It's terrible. It is terrible. So my question for you first is, you talk about getting tested. So when I started feeling bad, I just picked up something from the drugstore just to see. Is that a valid way to test yourself too, rather than going into a physician's office? Is that an equal test, if you will?
That's a great first step, right? So you had mentioned very eloquently that you just kind of got ran over, right? It was sudden onset. That's really the type of symptoms that flu has, is you're feeling well in the morning, and then once the afternoon comes, it's just all of a sudden you have extreme fatigue, you have just exhaustion, and a lot of times it is accompanied with fever and chills, sometimes a cough, usually a dry cough, and not so much in terms of congestion, but definitely some runny nose.
So once this onset happens, I think this is really important for folks to know, because what behaviors should you follow to make sure you're not a catalyst for a whole nother building or household being taken over it? What should we do once we start feeling sick to protect our friends and neighbors?
So one of the things that we can do is just to keep our hands clean, right? Try to cover our coughs. Cover the cough with your elbow or with a handkerchief or some type of a tissue, just so we can limit that spread. Some people will actually even wear a mask. Now, masks really protect others more than they protect ourselves. So that's where, because the droplets that come out of our mouth when we cough or sneeze, those are the infectious particles that can either land on a doorknob or land on a desk area, on somebody's laptop or keyboard, and you start to touch those surfaces. And then you may not know this, but we touch our faces about 20 times in an hour on average. And so if we're not keeping our hands clean, then we're very easily going to infect ourselves if we're around people that may be sick.
So this can be transmitted through touch and airborne, or is it more touch?
It's more touch. It's more touch, and definitely if you're in very close proximity to somebody that sneezes, right? So sometimes, I mean, if you have small kids like I had at one point, you know that that's just
they always bring it. Yeah, they always bring it. Once they're in school, you're kind of.
And also, if you're traveling, right? So if you're in an enclosed space where, let's say, even at work, and that's why we also say if you do feel ill, please stay at home. Get tested, try to figure out what it is. It could be the common cold, which has a shorter course. But if it's the flu, you're going to be infectious for probably the first 3 to 4 days.
From those symptoms coming on, right? Test that you should get right on the front end so you know what you're dealing with, right?
Correct. So you had mentioned that test it's pretty good. So it's not 100%, but it's a very good first start. And you can always repeat the test in a day or two if you're still feeling ill.
Yeah, but when it blows out positive, like before your timeline is over, it definitely, that was like the money.
Got it.
Is it media? Is it, that we have social, that we have podcasts? Is this particular year's strain stronger than before, or is it that we communicate about it more? It just seems so many people are affected. And like you said, hospitalizations, I have several friends that had to go to the hospital because of this, because they couldn't breathe. I mean, that's really horrifying, right? So is it stronger than normal? Is it stronger than normal? What's happening?
I think there are a couple of things that come into play, and that's a very good question, Shannon. I think part of it is that coming out of COVID, we were really tired of being masked all the time. So there's been that piece of it where the mask gave us very small amount of coverage. Again, it really protects the person that is sick more than it does. It protects others, because the person that's sick, you cover their mouth. They don't give any particles that are infectious. And there's only a small amount of protection if you're wearing it and somebody else is sick. And then on the other side is also that there's been a lot of vaccine hesitancy. So people don't necessarily want to get vaccinated for something they feel like they're going to get anyway. But I'll definitely say that it does not prevent you from getting the flu. I will 100% agree with anybody that says that. However, what it does is really help to prevent the complications of flu, and that being pneumonia, those being okay. Also respiratory failure, where you may need some oxygen. Sometimes you can just wear the oxygen kind of on your nose and mm-hmm. get it that way. In very severe cases of influenza, it can cause you to have what we call an ET tube, an endotracheal tube, and mechanical ventilation. And those are the horror stories where people are on ventilators. Now, granted that we haven't had too many of those in the intensive care unit, those patients so far. But again, we're still in the thick of this. So things may change. So I don't think that it's necessarily a stronger strain. But now that we're a little bit more lax in terms of we're not wearing masks, we're not really getting vaccinated. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to carry around the alcohol rub every single place that you go to and keep your hands clean. So it's kind of all those different factors involved that make this to be a little bit more positive. And, you know, and right after the holidays, we've just seen a big uptick.
Maybe because we were all together just.
That's true.
Sharing the germs, sharing the love.
That's very true. Probably right around New Year's Day and New Year's Eve.
So that's what it did to us. I have to tell you, I have a number of friends, you know, Bay Care Van Dyke. I have a friend in there right now because it really hit their respiratory system. And then my father-in-law, who is in his 80s, was in over a week and really, really struggled. We had a few days that were really scary. Mm-hmm. So does possibly age impact that reaction, or is it previous conditions that might take you into that? And what do you need to look for to know that you need to stop, you know, trying to tough it out like I did and you really see a professional?
Great questions. So to start, yes. So age definitely is a risk factor for having more complications from the flu. So people that are 65 and older are recommended to get actually a specific flu vaccine that's a little bit stronger, because as we age, our immune system kind of ramps down. It's just not as vigorous as it once when we were younger. So that's the first step. And if you do have any other chronic medical problems, and that's part of aging, unfortunately, too. Mm-hmm. Some people have chronic lung problems, chronic heart problems, liver or kidney. And so when you have those chronic medical conditions, that can also predispose you to having complications from the flu. So one of the things that we do say is, you know, besides getting tested, try to get as much rest as possible. Keep hydrated, because if you're not hydrated, that dehydration can lead to potentially even kidney failure. But, you know, in extreme cases.
Right.
We just want to try to make sure, like we were saying, just to get that information out to people so they know what to do at the beginning. But if certain symptoms continue to occur, those being like high fever that does not go away, and, you know, again, definitely seek medical attention if you do have a high fever and it's not going away with simple measures. If you have difficulty breathing, or you feel like what we say, short of breath. Mm-hmm. And if you're having very chest pain that doesn't go away, that's another sign that you really should seek medical attention, because it could be going into pneumonia at that point.
Okay. Wow. Is there something, you know, I know in the past there's been things like Tamiflu. There's all these different prescription or even over-the-counter medications that when you first have it, or you first feel it, or you get that positive test, which you should take right away when you feel bad, right? Is there anything that's over the counter besides, you know, a Tylenol or an Advil that you should put as part of your regimen to get better in the beginning? As long as you don't feel like you have to go to the hospital, is there some magic cure over the counter?
I really wish there was, but all the different medications that are available over the counter, or even kind of the home remedies, they really help to relieve the symptoms, but it don't really do anything for the flu virus itself. So really, that's when you should seek the attention of a medical professional, and they can guide you as to what's the best regimen for you.
For you, right. Yeah.
So it's everything just really should be individualized.
Right. Because we all, you know, are dealing with these things differently. And then, you know, there's, of course, those old school methods, like you just mentioned a little bit, like for your mom to have a humidifier in the room. And good Lord, as a child, I was slathered with Vicks, but thank God it's like in lotion form now instead of that greasy stuff. Are that those things are just helping relieve the symptoms, making you more comfortable, correct? But your flu is going to run its course no matter what.
It's going to run its course. And usually it takes about 4 to 5 days before you start feeling better. And probably, and by that time, once you're feeling better and you don't have 24 hours of fever, you're probably okay by that time to be out back in the public. Right.
Okay.
But, and some people, you had mentioned your father, right, at 85, some people last 1 week, even up to 2 weeks.
Yeah. That was, I think, a previous condition thing. And I think that any listener should kind of think about that, where you are in life, and if you have something that's a weakness somewhere, to immediately seek help instead of trying to ride it out, because we want to stay home. I mean, we love y'all and everything and appreciate you at BayCare, but we really do want to stay home. But that's not the best thing if you've got other stuff going on that this flu can really cling on to and make worse. It was for him, it was his heart, you know, and thank goodness they got him in there. He had a rough couple of days. And when I say rough, I mean possibly losing him rough. And the medical team was able to address his needs, and he's home relaxing, and home health care is coming in. So that's how very important it is, folks, for you to get out there. Have a health care group like BayCare that you trust. Find one of those places in your neighborhood that you can get to know folks. Even so, my suggestion is I live near Van Dyke. I went in there for tests and to the clinic there, and I got to know them. I wasn't even sick. I was like, hi, how you doing? I just kind of wanted to see it. It's really important to build those relationships and to have that trust with each other, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to piggyback on what you said before, the sooner that you know that you have flu, and especially with age and other risk factors, other medical conditions, get to see somebody as soon as possible, because if you start the prescribed medications, it'll help you to feel better that much sooner and hopefully prevent you from needing any type of hospitalization.
Right. And give you that relief. Well, Dr. Kopeck, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. You've got a lot of things to do. There is one personal question I forgot to ask you. And you and I offline talked about my son's a physician, my daughter-in-law's a nurse. You are now in the management part, and you've transitioned from being with patients into helping manage the hospitals and making sure. What is that? How was that transition? How did you go from immunology and understanding and helping treat and educate people on how to better take care of themselves to going into the upper management of the hospital?
So for me, it was not an immediate one thing that made me change. I still love direct patient care. Mm-hmm. The thing that happened with me was that when I first was at the bedside, seeing patients for infectious disease, it was great. I still love doing that. I transitioned to a hospitalist role, where it was a little bit more flexible to have a better schedule and a better family life. But then I didn't have those infectious disease patients as many as before. So I said, okay, well, what can I do to get back in that? So I was the medical director for infection control, first for two hospitals and then for all four hospitals for Morton Plant Meese. With that, then I said, okay, how can I continue to help more people? And so that's when I transitioned over, and it was right around COVID. So it really wasn't COVID that was the catalyst. It was really just that I wanted to continue to evolve as a physician and as a physician leader to see how can I continue to help more people. And so that's when I became a physician advisor and did that part-time as well as part-time clinical care. And then I finally got the chance to become the director and chief medical officer here at North Bay, and love it here, and was really blessed by the opportunity to go to a even bigger facility down at Morton Plant in downtown Clearwater. So it's just been a very humbling experience to be able to continue to serve the community.
What a wonderful journey. And now you can help keep that excellence in care at your facility and kind of make certain that everyone's being well taken care of. And I think that says a lot for BayCare. No, we haven't met anyone who hasn't been so compassionate about the care of others in our community, whether it's an intervention or a prevention. You guys are on top of it. We want to thank you so much for all these pearls of wisdom. The key message for us is, if you feel that, right, and agree with me or not, doctor,
indeed,
first of all, get a test and make sure you stay away from your friends. Last question, does hand sanitizer work? Because I think we've gotten away from using that too. Or is that?
It definitely works. Hand washing is the best, but if you're not around water, hand sanitizer definitely works.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much again, Dr. Kopeck. You folks keep it clean and help keep your neighbors and your friends and your family and your workmates from getting the flu. Stay home. We now have Zoom like we are today. Ev, poor thing, is on the back end of the flu right now, and he's very quietly with us. Stay home. Stay home. Thank you, guys, and thank you, as always, to BayCare.
Thank you so much. It's really been my pleasure. I appreciate it.
You know, stand by, because something else happens, I'm calling you, okay?
You got it.
All right. Thank you so much, and best wishes to you as your career continues to climb, taking care of Tampa Bay.
Thank you so much.
You can learn more about Feeding Tampa Bay and how to join the movement at feedingtampabay.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok at Feeding Tampa Bay.